Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Genesis 12, this is about Abram. And Abram's call to do something fantastic, to leave from those things that he knows so well, to go and do something that he does not really have an idea what he's getting into. But by faith, he does something spectacular. And so today, really, as you think about your life, put your life in the life of Abraham this morning. Recognize that he was called to do something, and he did. And he's recognized as a man of faith. And so let me read to you out of the book of Genesis some great things about Abram. And I may call him Abraham along the way because God changes his name at some time at a later date. But Abram and Abraham are the same guy. So here's what the Bible says. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls they got from Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land in the place of Shechem, in the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord, who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east, and there builded an altar unto the Lord, and called the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed going on still southward, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass, when he came near to enter to Egypt, he said unto Sarai, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass, when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is my wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and thy soul shall live because of thee. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. Lord, thank you, Lord, for Abram and his act of faith. And thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness that even when he does mess up, that you just mercifully and gracefully bring him back to your fold. And so, Lord, today I pray as we live our life that we be mindful of our calling. And, Lord, when we do fail you at times, as we will, that you are gracious and merciful and nudge us to come back and do those things that would please you. So, Lord, today I pray that you speak through me, that you give me unction, that I may say those things that I will honor you, for you are truly worthy of it all. Thank you, Lord, for that promise that when your word is read, you'll not come back void. In the name of Jesus I pray, amen. I heard about a lady on her 40th birthday, came out of her bedroom and appeared before her husband in an old dress, and she said, honey, I wore this dress on my 30th birthday. I think this means that we should go shopping. He said, well, it could mean that when you were 30, you had the body of a 40-year-old. Not a good thing to say, amen. Some people don't change a lot. Some people do. I don't know why I like that joke so well, but I did anyway. Some people change, but all of us will change some physically, but will we change spiritually? Will we do those things that God calls us to do? Will we take the challenge that God has put before us and just take a step of faith? As we look at Genesis 12 this morning, we'll see Abram and how Abraham responded to a call that God was yearning to him to do, and he steps out by faith and does well. And so let's look at our lives today, put ourselves in his shoes, and see how we would respond in like manner. Notice the first thing I want you to see, Abraham and his call. Abraham and his call. Verse 1 says, Now the Lord said unto Abram, and let me just stop right there. God spoke to him in a voice that was real. God spoke to him in such a way that it was clear. God made himself known to Abram and spoke to him. It says that he still speaks today in his word. We recognize today that God still speaks to his people. He speaks to us in the Bible. It is the revealed will of God. We understand God speaks through these pages. God speaks to us today still in this idea of prayer. The Bible over and over says, ask and you shall receive. Or if you lack wisdom, let him ask. And so God speaks to us. He speaks to us by other believers that are filled with the Spirit. And so we recognize that some people have the will of God and the Spirit of God. And we know that through their spiritual maturity, God has spoken to them and now speaks to us. And so God speaks. But notice what this speech was. First, there is the command that was given. God gives a command to Abram. Notice again verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Get thee out. I recognize that God comes to us many times. And yes, he may have fellowship and relationship, and I understand that. But most of the time when God speaks to us, there is a command for us to do something. God wants us to do what God wants us to do. It is a command given to Abram to go in a different direction. He had to leave something behind. And as we read this, we'll recognize that he had to do some things different in his life. Abram couldn't be the person God wanted him to be in the place that he was. Let me say that again. Abram couldn't be the person God wanted him to be in the place that he was. Can I tell you that same thing is true for us today? Many times we cannot be all God wants us to be if we stay where we are. God wants us to move and do those things that he has commanded us. Notice what he has to do. He has to leave some things behind. He has to leave his country in verse 1, his kindred, his father's house. He had to leave his family, his inheritance. He had to leave those things behind. And you may be asking, why would Abram have to leave those things behind? Why leave his family? Joshua chapter 24 gives us insight. Joshua 24 verse 2 says, and Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in the old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abram was living with people that believed in false gods. God said, come out of them and I will show you a better way. Jesus basically does the same thing for us when he says, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. We've got to leave those things that are in our way that keep us from serving God. John said this, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And so God is usually crystal clear when he wants us to leave behind. It is a life of sin and self. The problem with us today is we want to carry all the old world with us as we enter this new life with Christ. We want to carry all the old things with us instead of leaving them behind as Abram was commanded to do. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So let me ask you, has God commanded you to do something? Is God nudging you to leave something behind? Is there some action or habit that is holding you back from doing the will of God? Can you break ties with sin or that habit or that relationship that is unholy and go where the Lord is calling you to go? Is there anything that hinders your ability to draw close to the Lord today? He is saying, leave that behind. Is there anything that you do that hinders others from serving the Lord? In Abram's case, that was his kindred and his family and those things. He had to leave those things. He follows the commands that was given him. But not only the commands, but now notice the clarity that was lacking. He didn't say just leave, but now says he wants you to walk to something. And so we find that he wants him to strike out and go in a different direction. Verse 1 again, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. Unto a land that I will show you. He does not know the end point, but he does know this. He knows his next step. Abraham doesn't know his final destination, but he knows where the next step must be placed. And the next step is all that matters when it comes to doing what God says. The next step is all that matters in our life when it comes to doing what God said. And in a minute, we're going to talk about point Z, and that's where we're headed to. We may not know exactly what that is, but we do know where point B is. Take that next step of faith. The children of Israel has been called to do this over and over again. I'm reminded of Joshua chapter 3 when they were fixing to cross the swollen Jordan River into the promised land. The Lord said to the priest, take the ark and step into the water. And once you step into the water, that next step, then the Jordan River will dry up. And so we find that next step is so important. The question is, why didn't God tell him what that final destination was? Why didn't God say, I'm going to put you in this place, instead of just saying, I will show you? It may have been for fear. Lots of times we get like Jonah-itis. You know, old Jonah, God said, Jonah, I want you to go to the Ninevites. And what did he do? He gets on a boat. Instead of going this way, he goes exactly the opposite way. So sometimes in life we may have fear and not do God's will. If God clearly says, do this. Or probably it was just by faith that God said, Abram, trust me. That same principle needs to be applied in our life. We find that Abraham was a man of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. It was by faith that Abraham took that next step. Let me just share quickly about my life. There was a point in my life I knew God was calling. I knew God was calling. I knew God was calling me to preach. And I was saying, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you, no, thank you. But there came to a point in my life when I had to do something, and I finally took that next step, step B. Now, I didn't know I was going to end up here. I thought I was going to end up someplace else in my mind. I'm thankful for point Z, but I didn't know that. But I took that first step, and God did the rest. I'm telling you today, if you'll just take that next step, I'm not sure clearly what that is for you, but I do know this. If God is calling, step out and do His will. It may be full-time ministry. It may be preaching. It may be doing missionary work. It may be teaching or discipling or ramp building or cooking or whatever. Maybe sharing the gospel with a family member or telling the good news to a friend or acquaintance. Whatever it is, living the Christian life faithfully is taking one step at a time in the direction that God calls you. One step at a time. He didn't know exactly where he was going. All he knew was, I'm going to obey God and take the next step and follow Him. Here's the third thing, not just the command that was given and the clear that was lacking, but the covenant that was established. And so in verse 2, he says this, and I will make of thee a great nation. So there's going to be a conditional covenant there made. If you'll take that next step, here's what I'm going to do. I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee. I will make thy name great. Thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Trust me, he's saying, and I will bless you. There's so many directions you could go, but let me just tell you these quick blessings. One, it would be a blessing to Abraham. He said, I will make you a great nation. Matter of fact, that word Abram is exalted father, and so he's going to make him a mighty nation when he had no children to speak of at all at this point. I will make thee a great nation. We saw that come to fruition as we look at years later, David and Solomon, they were world leaders from this man named Abraham or Abram. He's going to be a blessing not just to Abram but to other nations. He said, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. Today we look at Israel and the news and all the things that are going on. I'm telling you, we have been blessed because we've been allies with Israel. We have blessed what God said blessed, and we have cursed what God has said cursed. If we stop doing that, the thing here is true. I promise you it is. But also to the world. In thee all the nations shall be blessed. God had a plan to bring through Abram this Redeemer that would come to all the world. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so God blessed Abram and said, be faithful. I'm going to bring a blessing to you, to your nation, to the world. Through Christ Jesus, He will come. And we find that Abram was a man that truly believed. How good is that? That through his faithfulness, we too now become faithful ourselves. Abram heard the voice of God and followed by faith, and so was me. So what must we? And your faith will not only be a blessing to you, but also to a blessing of others. Abraham heard the call and obeyed. Will you? Secondly, Abraham and his call, but also Abraham and his challenge. There will be a great challenge to comply with the Lord's will. And you're going to say at some point, I can't. Don't say I can't. Say I won't, because God always provides. I like that little saying, where God guides, God provides. And so as he does this will, as he tries to step out, there's going to be some challenges to overcome. First, there's the challenge of comfort. Notice verse 4. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. 75 years old, and God says, I want you to leave everything behind and move. Have you ever felt comfortable where you are in life? Have you ever kind of felt set in your ways? Have you ever felt, man, I finally made it. Man, I love this time of my life. I'm just comfortable. Put yourself in Abram's shoes for a moment. He could have said the same thing. But we're reminded that God had a better plan for him. Moses tells us that Abram was 75. I think about Moses himself. He was 80 when God called him. And so if you're not careful, we get kind of comfortable in our own selves and be kind of not open to new ideas. Many times in church, we want to do something, and I hear these words, we've never done it that way before. We've always done it this way. This is not the way we used to do it. Oh, I'm telling you, we're going to do some different things. We must never compromise the message of Christ. But if we're not willing to change our methods, we are doomed. If we're not willing to change some things that we do in our own personal lives and in the church, we will not make the impact God has called us to make. We must never compromise Christ and the truth, but we can change some things to help others see the light that God has called us to share. There was a challenge of his comfort, but also there's a challenge of his clan. Notice verse 5, Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and so can you imagine, he has to go to his family and say, hey, we're moving. I'm not real sure we're going to. I'm not real sure, Mary, if that would work with you, or say, hey, we're just moving. Let's just go. It was a tough call. And so he had to convince his family to say, hey, God is speaking. We must go. So many times in our family, we are held back by our spouses or by our family that we're not willing to step out by faith. I hear people say all the time, I'm not going to church because of my spouse. And I know you want to honor your spouse, I understand that. But you must honor God before anything else. I'm reminded of Acts chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. This is when the disciples were called in, they were preaching the gospel, and the government said, no more. And they called them and commanded them not to speak nor teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than God, judge ye. Peter says, you tell me, should we obey God or man? And let me remind that in our own walk, we should not let anyone hinder us from serving God as we should. On the day of judgment, we'll be accountable for ours, not anybody else's. Let us honor God. Thirdly, there's a challenge of the Canaanites. Verse 6 says, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem in the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. The Canaanites were a warlike people, and they did terrible things. They had lived in idolatry. They were not good. And so once entering in, they had to face all these things. The unbelieving world would be against them. I'm reminded that sometimes we are like Abram moving into this lost world. There's a bunch of things around us that are not good. And if we're not careful, we'll let that impact us instead of us impacting them. 2 Peter reminds us, said something about Lot and Lot living in Sodom. He says, for the righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Romans tells us this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God has called us to live amongst them in one sense, to be that light that shines brightly. Even when those would go against us, even when we have great challenges, even when we have great troubles with those around us, we should live for him. Again, I like the saying, where God guides, God provides. So what challenges would keep you from being faithful today? Family, friends, enemies, society in general? Let nothing stand in your way when it comes to doing God's perfect will. Well, notice this, Abraham and his call, Abraham and his challenge, and Abraham and his confirmation. Verse 7, and the Lord appeared unto Abram. And so let me just stop right there. Abram takes the step of faith, leaves everything behind, his family, his inheritance, everything, gathers his family, moves into this foreign place, and there God confirms that he made the right choice. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto this thy seed will I give the land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him, and removed thence from a mountain on the east side of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. And so here's where we're going to find that God made a promise to Abram, and then Abram gives praise to the Lord. God promises, Abram praises, and he builds this altar. It is a response to what God has done and will do. Let me just speak about the altar just for a moment. Notice the altar and its priority. It was a place of praise. For the altar, it was important for Abram to do this. It was a place of relationship. He recognized God. It showed that he knew God. It showed that he lifted up God. It was a place of worship. He called upon the name of the Lord. But let me also remind you, the altar was not worshiped. It was a place of worship. If you keep on reading the Old Testament, we're going to find that in the book of Deuteronomy, I think it is, or the book of Leviticus, God demands that the altars that would be built from those days would be uncut stones. They couldn't be something of beauty. Why? Because God knew they would worship the altar, not the thing of the altar, which is God. And so it was a place of priority that he would worship. It was a place that we lift up the Lord's name. And so today, we need an altar. Maybe not of stone, but we need a place of worship in our house. We need a place of worship in our workplace. We need a place of worship, our altar, in our churches. You say, well, we have this. Well, I wonder, do we truly worship? We need an altar. I'm mindful of that. He's going to move around and around and around, and the only thing permanent that he does is build altars. Everything else picks up and goes, but he leaves altars behind, and then we'll come back to them. There was a place of worship in his life. It was a place of priority, but also the altar and its position. Notice in verse 8, and he removed thence from a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east, and there built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. That location is kind of an odd place. It was between Bethel and Ai. Bethel is the idea of the house of God. And Ai is the picture of destruction, the house of destruction. And so the altar is between God's house and destruction. Can I tell you, in our life, we need that altar there. We're only one step away from destruction. You may think you have everything under control, that everything's wonderful. Your bank account's just right. Your marriage is good. Your job is secure. You're one car wreck away. You're one doctor visit away. You're one lawsuit away. You're one angry person away from destruction and misery in your life. Here's what I'm trying to say, not to scare you, but have an altar that you can run to. Don't find one of those times. Have one of those times. I am so thankful in my life, and I've had misery and hurt and heartache, that I did not have to run and go look for God. I knew right where he was. And had my altar, I had my place of relationship, I had my place that I could truly worship him. In life, we are between the Lord and destruction every single day. Build your altars before ruins hits. Let the Lord confirm himself in you. Here's the fourth thing. His call, his challenge, his confirmation, but Abraham and his crash. Abraham and his crash. I'm sure Abraham is on cloud nine. I'm sure he is where God wants him to be. I'm sure he feels good, but then all of a sudden something happens. Notice verse 10, and there was a famine in the land. Let me just stop right there. A famine. Lord, what do you mean? I got to the place you called me to be. I was obedient. I left everything, and I get to the land, and this is what happens. This is what you give. Lord, I don't understand. Can I tell you, when you do God's will, you will have a famine sooner or later. But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is one that can overcome if we will follow as we should. Doing God's will won't keep all trials from you. But let me add this. It'll keep a lot of them. Doing all is God's way won't keep hardship from you, but it'll keep a lot of them from you. But you will have hardships and trials, even doing it God's way. Jesus said in John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. What we do with these problems makes all the difference in the world. So how do you respond to the trials and tribulations of life? Abram's going to make some wrong choices. Notice, Abram and his failure. Verse 10, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Now, it doesn't say that God said, don't go there, but God had given him the land. God had promised him the land, and then he leaves the land. So let me just tell you how we get in trouble today and how he did. He went beyond the boundaries where God had set. He leaves the place where he should be and goes to a place he should not be. He leaves Canaan, and now lives in Egypt. He goes south. You say, well, he needed to because the grass was greener there. Let me remind you, grass is greener there for a reason. Just like today, I think about the septic tanks and where it bubbles and how green it is. And when you go beyond the boundaries that God has set for you, you are asking for trouble. When you don't follow the Bible, you end up with a mess. When you do things that are not right, when you don't follow God's rules, you will have troubles and trials beyond what you could. Let me say about the rules. It's not about rules. It is about the results. When you get outside of God's plan, things go south. I hear people say sometimes, I don't want to follow Christ because I don't have to give up this, or I want to do my own thing. Let me remind you, if you do your own thing, your life will end up in shambles. If you want to live the party lifestyle, go ahead, but it will have a terrible consequence. If you want to have relationships outside what God calls holy, go ahead, but you will have consequences. If you live a lifestyle of immorality, go ahead, but just know it will have consequences. If you involve yourselves in alternate lifestyles, go ahead. But just know it carries a heavy consequence. God has a way that is right and good and wants us to follow that. I know I keep people here saying this. Preacher, live and let live. I would for the fact, except for this. I do love you. And I want you to experience the consequences of God and not the consequences of the world. Making poor choices will cause you to experience them. God loves us and wants us to be in his will. When you get away from the boundaries that God has put forth, it will not be good. You say, well, it's going to end up pretty good. Well, let me remind you, when he gets down south, we're going to find something that he picks up even when he goes back. He will have another consequence that will stay with him all of his life. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1 says, now Sarah, Abram's wife, bare him no children. She had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And so in this time, as he goes south, yes, we're going to find that God has mercy and grace. He's going to leave that place and carry Hagar with him. And Hagar will be the mother of Ishmael and all the mess that will take place in Abram's life because of a poor choice that he failed to follow God in. So we went beyond the boundaries of where God had set, but secondly, he failed to believe that God would protect him. Verse 13, as he begins to speak to his wife and the going down south, and he knows that the king of Pharaoh there, is going to harm him maybe. He says, say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Abraham says, Sarah, tell him that you're my sister. Now really, this wasn't an all-out lie. If you read Genesis chapter 20, because he's going to do this again, he's going to say this about his sister, about Sarah. Yet indeed she is my sister. She is the daughter of my father, but not the daughter of my mother. And she became my wife. And so he marries his stepsister. I know it's kind of unusual. It was okay, I guess, in those days. But he says, tell them not that you're my wife, but that you're my sister. It was the practice of deception that was not good. Why did he do this? After all that he had heard from God, that he understood the promise of life, the promise of nations, the promise of all these things, he was overwhelmed with fear. Just as Peter gets his eyes off the Lord in the midst of a storm, begins to sink, so Abram does the same thing. Just as David gets his eyes off God in the middle of his kingship and sinks, so does Abram. And so will we. Let us not fear anymore, but simply do God's will. Fear keeps us from going and doing. Fear keeps us from giving as we should. Fear keeps us from helping others. Fear keeps us from joining the good fight. Fear keeps us from speaking up. There's only one thing we should fear, and that's the Lord himself. You read Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. And so it says, verse 14, and it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, that the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also, the Pharaoh, saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. because of his faithlessness, because of his fear, he loses his wife. She is taken to Pharaoh's house. Because of his failure to trust God, his family is broken. And it seems all is lost. But it is not. Notice the last part. God and his faithfulness, even in the midst of Abram's failure to fully trust God and his promise, the Lord shows mercy and grace. Even when Abram, a man that has supposed to be this great example of faith, failed God, God remained faithful to him. Abram was powerless to change his situations, but God was not. Verse 17 says, "And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife." Verse 18 says, "And Pharaoh called Abram and said, 'What is this thou hast done unto me? Why did you not tell me that she is thy wife? Why said thou, she is my sister? So I may have taken her to my wife. And now therefore, take thy wife and go thy way.'" Think about what God did. Even when Abraham messed up, even when Abram failed miserably, even when he would not stand up and live as he should, God still was faithful. God kept Sarah, his wife, safe. God kept Abram safe. And God kept his possession safe. All I'm saying today is that God will do the same thing. Trust in him. You will fail at times, but God will not. Trust him. Try him. See what he will do. There is none like God. God gives mercy and grace for all those that call upon him. God gave mercy and kept him from the destruction, the thing that he deserved. And God gave grace and gave him what he didn't deserve, blessings and blessings. And so we find ourselves in the same way. I like what the songwriter said. "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Here's the invitation this morning. One, trust the Lord. If you've never trusted him, let this be the day. Just simply trust him. Secondly, do his will. Do what God's calling. He is still speaking today. He is nudging and urging you to do something for him, to be the light that shines brightly. And thirdly, when you mess up, and we all do, and we all will, trust God again. Let him pull you in that right direction. Let him lead you out, knowing that God loves you and he is able to do all things. Trust the Lord today. I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes just for a moment. I don't know where you are in life, spiritually, but I know this. God doesn't want you to stay right there. God wants you to take a step of faith and move forward. Your step may be different than mine, but God's calling you to take a step. I wonder, would you commit this morning to hear God's word and obey God's word? Hear God's voice and obey God's voice. Wherever that step leads, just take the next step. That's all Christian life is, taking the next step that God gives you. Doing what God has called you to do. And all the blessings that will fall our way, not just us, but our families, our churches, our communities, our nations, this world. Because obeying God means sharing the gospel of Christ and living for him. God is calling this morning. I wonder, will you respond to his call? Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God that loves us. Thank you, Lord, that you're a God that wants us to do something. That you've done all it is for salvation, but Lord, that you want us to serve you. So Lord, help us to be faithful in there. Give us this understanding of what's next. Help us to do it. Thank you, Lord, for mercy and grace. Display that today. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.